Well, good morning, Friendship. We are in the second part of our seasonal series. As we shared with you already this morning, we're in the middle of our seasonal series. We're just kind of taking a little bit of a break from doing two services, doing one service through all the way till April 2nd. So as you come, just recognize and realize that starting April 9th, some of you are going to celebrate like, yes, I finally can come at 8:30 or 9 o'clock again. And some of you are like, good, I don't have to come at 10 o'clock again, you know. So depending upon where you are, just realize April 9th, we're going to be going back kind of to our regularly scheduled program, if you will. But we thought it would be a great opportunity, since this is probably the last time in the growth and the history of our church, for that chance to be able to all gather under one roof to be able to do that. So just as you recognize that, just kind of keep an eye open. If you see people searching for seats or whatever, just kind of wave at them, tell them they can sit next to you. And, you know, if you really like them, let them sit on your lap or something. But maybe not. Today, it's going to be an awesome day. I'm so excited. Some of you are like, I saw you drinking a Monster drink, that's why. That just helps, because I am so excited. If you see before us here, this is our baptismal. It used to be, the company that makes this now, it used to be portable jacuzzis, and then they realized that, you know, it'd be really cool if they did this for churches. And so that's what we have, if you've never seen us do it before. And we have 19 people tonight who are getting baptized. That's just so awesome to be able to recognize that. That means over the last quarter, over the last 3 months here at Friendship Church, we will have baptized 33 people who have gone public with their faith, professing that they've accepted Jesus Christ. That's so cool. And so I hope you'll be here tonight. It starts at 7 o'clock. It is an absolutely unbelievable time where we celebrate baptism and communion, and we're able to cheer on those people who have said, yes, I've accepted Jesus Christ, and now I want to let everyone know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ and desire to live my life for him. So I encourage you to be here tonight at 7 o'clock to be able to celebrate with them. So we're talking about building a life that matters. And we spent the first month this year talking about your spiritual life and how often we get disconnected from God because of things that we do and choices that we make. And that really, if we want to get reconnected, there are things that we have to do to be able to advance or move our connection with God closer and deeper. Also, our connection with other people, our connection with how we use the gifts and the abilities that God has given us. And then last week, we started our second part of building a life that matters, talking about your financial life. Now, I know that this is always a subject that everyone gets so excited about as you talk about finances, and everyone's like, woo, yay, can I share what we make and how we spend our money? But no, we're not going to ask you to do that, and we're not going to let you do that. I know some of you are very disappointed because you were all ready this morning. You came with your budgets and spreadsheets to put on so that everyone could see. None of us like to talk about it, but here's the thing that is so important to understand when it comes to finances. Because you're like, why is the church talking about finances? Oh, you guys must be doing a building project. No, we're done. Here's why. Because your financial life is inextricably linked to your spiritual life. How you handle your finances, and we talked about this in week one, how you handle your finances can often determine whether or not your dreams are wrecked or realized. And how you handle them will either enable you to pursue your dreams, the dreams that God has put in your heart, to become the man or the woman that God's called you to be with a reckless abandon because you've handled all that God has given you already well, or because you haven't handled it well, you are restricted and unable to pursue becoming the person that God's called you to be. And we look at Scripture and we read Scripture and we recognize that God, all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, talks about how he wants us to handle all that he's given us. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, that he created it all, that he owns the gold in 1,000 mines, the cattle on every hill. It's all his. It all begins with him. He gives us the ability to create. He gives us the ability to work. He gives us the physical body to be able to do all the things that earn us money. And then God also provides it through providing all these other things. And so God says, listen, I want to tell you this. I am the ultimate creator, provider, sustainer of all these things. And I know a few things about it. And if you want to be able to manage it well, these are the keys, these are the things that you need to do. And so that's what this series is all about, is going, okay, what does the Bible say? What does God say are some really important things that we need to understand, that we need to grasp to be able to get this? And so today, our message is simply entitled, Living Within Your Means. Living within your means. Dave Ramsey calls it act your wage. You know, just live within your means. You go, oh, I hear this all the time. I don't like it. You know, it's not comfortable. It's not exciting. No one likes it. Let me give you a few statistics that I just hopefully it'll help you kind of wrap your mind around why this is so important, okay? These are statistics as of the end of year 2016, so that they're very up to date, all right? So here we go, 52%. So more than half of all American households find it difficult each month just to pay the bills. 52% of all households, literally, when it comes to the end of the month, they are scratching the bottom of the barrel just to be able to pay the bills. We're not talking about saving for the future. We're not talking about retirement. We're not talking about college fund. We're not talking about anything extra. We're simply talking about the monthly bills. 52% of all American households struggle just being able to pay the bills every single month. That's astounding. But it gets maybe a little worse. 62% have no emergency fund whatsoever. In other words, they don't have a stash of maybe $1,000 even, just to be able, like, if something happens, you know, a furnace breaks down, a car breaks down, you know, the kid has a broken arm and you've got to pay your deductible. They don't have any cushion whatsoever to be able to survive something that's going to happen. And if there's anything that you've learned in this world, you know that something's always going to happen, right? It's always going to happen. And so 62%, two-thirds almost of our American households have almost nothing in an emergency savings, emergency account whatsoever. And then 25%, a full quarter of all American households have no money in any type of savings at all anywhere. We're not even talking about a $1,000 emergency fund. We're talking like a $5 latte fund. I mean, there's nothing there. At the end of 2016, the average household debt in America, which means if you have no debt, that means somebody has double this debt, okay? So this is the average household debt. $117,951 in total debt. Now, you might go, some of you that are thinkers might go, well, yeah, but you know, if you think about the house, you're like, yeah, a lot of people have a house, and so that's included into that. But do you realize that at almost $120,000, the average household income in America is just shy of $44,000? That means that they have triple the amount of debt that they make in an entire year, that to be able to pay that debt off, they would have to work for 3 years in a row, not spending a nickel of it just to pay that debt off. Now that you go, oh, well, that, you know, you put that in a little different perspective. Now, as we break that down a little bit more, the average household credit card income, and this is where it gets really scary. The average household credit card income is $16,385 of credit card debt. Now you're like, oh, I don't have that much. I've just got $1,000 on a Sears card. They're going bankrupt, so I should probably get that paid off. And then like $1,200 on a Kohl's card, and then you start adding it up and you realize, oh, wow, I'm pretty close to that amount. Because the reality is that what's normal in our culture today is to have so much debt that you literally have more debt than you have income on any regular basis, which means that the vast majority of people on their debt are paying just enough to keep from getting a phone call. Add to that, two-thirds of all marriages cite money, money problems, or money stress as the reason they get divorced. God's sacred institution that he created at the beginning of time was marriage. You see, it doesn't matter how we cut it, doesn't matter how we slice it, finances in our financial life is inextricably linked to our spiritual life in every way we look at it. And so when we talk about living within your means, it's not because we're like, listen, you need to be able to live within your means so you can give more. No. We'll talk about that at a later time. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living within your means so that you can breathe every month, so that you can have a better marriage, so that you can actually get to the point where you can begin to pursue becoming the man or the woman that God has called you to be. The reality is we spend so much, and the reason that we spend so much, and I don't know where I heard this the first time, so I'm not going to give credit to anybody, but it's not original with me. We buy stuff that we don't need with money that we don't have to impress people that we don't even like. That's what we do. That's the cycle that we're in our world. That's why we're spending and spending and spending, because we're worried about what somebody else is going to think about us. We're worried about how people are going to perceive us. We've got to have this. We've got to have this. We've got to do this. We have to go here. Well, they're going there, so I guess we got to go there because we got to impress. No, because of that, we have literally self-created a situation where we live in our marriages, in our life, in constant stress. And here's the thing. Because I know that people love to pick on millennials. Can I tell you the number one group and age group that has the most debt per age group, per household in America? It's 45 to 54. That's the biggest age group. You know what the second one is? 35 to 43. So in other words, all grown-ups who have kids in the house have self-created one of the most stressful situations that they could possibly create, and they are now teaching their kids this is what it's like. Moms and dads, if you want your kid to be able to pursue the passions and the dreams that God has given them, you need to show and exemplify that in front of them. You need to change how you're spending. Here's the big idea for today. We talk about this a lot, becoming the man or the woman that God's called you to be. So I want to put this into perspective so that you can actually just kind of grasp it and wrap your mind around it. And before we do that, so that they don't panic in the back, we're going to read the first verse of Scripture, okay? Because they're like, well, we got to move this around. So Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 11. This is so powerful. Jesus Christ is talking. He says this: if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. You know that. If you are any type of leader, or you work in business and you have people that work underneath you, the people that are diligent in the things that don't matter, those more often the people that are going to be diligent in the things that do matter, because they are diligent in their mindset. So Jesus Christ, listen, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. It's just simple understanding of leadership. Then he goes on. He goes, but if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest in greater responsibilities. If somebody lies to you about something that doesn't matter, you can guarantee that they're going to lie to you about something that does matter. So you go, listen, if you're not honest in this stuff, I know that you cannot be trusted with this stuff. And then he pulls it all together. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? He says, listen, think about this. If you can't handle a little bit, then you're not going to be handle a large amount. If you can't be honest in a little thing, then you're not going to be honest in a big thing. So let's put these pieces together. If you do not handle the simple understanding of finances, don't ever expect to be entrusted with the greater blessings that God has for your life, because you won't handle them well either. You see, it's linked. And so here's the big idea. The big idea is this: you will never live out your purpose if you keep spending like someone else. You will never live out your purpose if you keep spending like someone else. Last week we talked about the fact that the very first step in getting and becoming financially stable, and we defined that this way, being financially stable means that you manage the resources that God has provided in such a way that you are free to live and enjoy the purpose that he has given you. And so to be financially stable, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to know what you've got. And then today, as we kind of break it down and we go to the next step, we go, you know, you will never live out your purpose if you keep spending like someone else. In other words, you know what your cap is. You know what's coming in. And now you go, okay, this is what God has given me so far. This is who I am financially right now at this point in time. But yet, you are not spending like this person financially. You're spending like this person financially. And so you're buying and you're getting things like mommy and daddy did. Well, they had worked 30 years to get to that point. You've worked 30 days to get to that point, right? Or let's be a little bit more, you know, where we most of us are. You're spending like your neighbor across the street, who maybe he's got a six-figure job, and he's able to spend in a certain fashion, and you're like, well, I certainly don't want my five-year-old car, you know, across the street from his brand new Cadillac Escalade. I mean, come on. I mean, everyone will think we're poor. Well, no, you're not poor, but you may be smarter than he is. And you know what? If you go out and you put yourself upside down, then you've just proven to everyone else that, oh, no, we thought he was, but he's not. Because you're spending like someone else. You're not living your life like you. You're not pursuing the dreams that God's given you. You're pursuing somebody else's dream. And somebody else's dream for you. Because here's the truth. If you don't pursue the dream that God's given you, everyone else has got a dream for your life. And they'll tell you, and they'll pressure you, and they will put expectations on you of who they want you to be, and you'll end up putting yourself in an absolute mess because you try to impress them or try to be who they think you should be instead of simply following the plan that God has for you. It begins with knowing what you've got, and that becomes your cap. You go, I can't spend more than that. You go, well, I don't, okay, hang on a second now. I understand what you're saying. It's simple math, right? If you make $40,000 a year, you only have $40,000 to spend, right? Isn't that simple? Does anyone not get that? Everyone gets that, right? That's not difficult. No one's like, oh, no. No. If you make $40,000, you really have $50,000 to spend. No, I mean, but here's the thing. Okay, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if statistics are accurate, over half of us don't live that out. We make $40,000, but we spend more than that. And then we wonder why we're stressed. You see, if you walk into a store and you've got $50 in cash and you buy $100 in groceries and you go, well, here's the money, and you give them $50 in cash, what is the cash register person going to say to you? How would you like to pay for the rest of that? You're like, no, it's okay. I live my life this way. I have $50 to spend, but I bought $100. It's okay. They're like, no, it's not okay. So then we do this wonderful thing. We whip out something called a credit card. Let's put it on that. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. And we get ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper. So what I want to do is I want to give you four stages. Call them steps, you call them keys, whatever you want. I call them stages because you have to do them one at a time. If you say, you know what, this, I don't want to be caught in this. I don't want to be another statistic. I don't want to live every single month stressing out about whether or not we can pay the bills. I don't want my marriage to be constantly fighting about money or finances. I don't want my kids. I don't want to double down on my kids and then end up creating a legacy of debt and legacy of frustration and fear and devastation financially. I don't want to do that. I want to become who God's called me to be. Then you must begin to work through these stages. And the first stage, and it's so important and so absolutely necessary, the first stage that you have to do is you've got to get serious. You've got to get serious. I'm amazed how many times, I've talked with some of the couples that work with other couples. We work with couples ourselves, and we sit down, we say, okay, let's begin to work on your finances. Here's what you need to do. You need to start tracking where you're spending your money. I'm amazed how many times it comes back with, all of it? Yeah, all of it. Like if I get like a dollar drink at McDonald's, is it a dollar? Yeah. Is it money that you have gotten? Yeah. Are you spending it? Yeah. Then yeah. Because you're tracking what you're spending. Like, well, that seems really hard. That seems really like a pain in the butt. Would anybody agree that seems like a pain in the butt? It is, right? You're like, oh, that sucks. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Nobody wants to do that. It's hard. Yes. Nothing worth doing is ever easy. Ever. It's hard. So if you think you're going to start living within your means and you're going to become financially stable and it's going to be easy, oh, it's going to be so easy. It's great. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's all, tomorrow, we're done. Tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. You have to make the choice to get serious. And the reason you have to get serious is because of all the things that we've already talked about. The statistics that are obvious, the financial stress, the problems in marriage, the problems in family, the things that it does inside of you is it creates those ulcers and all those difficulties. While you're living and while you're doing what you're doing, you go, man, I've got to get serious about this because the end result is serious. And if I don't get serious about it, it's going to end up really, really bad. So let me give you a couple of verses about why this is so important. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. You go, well, I don't want to keep track of it. Lazy hands. Well, you know what? I do my banking with Chase, and I use a debit card. And they tell me everything that comes through, and it's wonderful, and I don't have to keep track of it. Here's the question. Do you actually get on every week and keep track of it and make sure? Or at the end of the month, do you go, man, why are we $175 short? Oh, 14 lattes. That's why. It's hard. If you are not diligent, if you are not serious about it, you will never be able to tackle it. Do not jump to stage 2, 3, or 4 before you get in your mind and you sit down. And if you're married, sit down with your spouse and the two of you say, listen, we need to get serious about this. We can't be messing around with this anymore. It is going to destroy us and our kids and our family and our legacy if we don't get serious about this, because we need to live within our means, because this is what God has given us. And if this is what God has given us, unless we're being lazy because we're not working the jobs that we're supposed to be working, then we'd rather fool around and be silly and do all these stupid things, and we're not making the money that we should be making, unless that's the issue, then this is what God has for us right now. And God has said that we are to be diligent and good managers of what he's given. We need to get serious. The second verse is this, Proverbs 13:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. I'm not going to beat a dead horse here, but I'm just going to tell you. When you do multi-level marketing, when you go to rallies and they talk about how you can make $100,000 a month in just 3 months. Okay, that's not real. Can I just be blunt? It's not real. It doesn't ever end well. What happens is the people at the very, very top, they're the ones that do that. And they tell you how great they did and how awesome they did. And they're convincing you to waste time, energy, resources, so they can get more of what you've got. That's called a get-rich-quick scheme. Another scheme would be the lottery. I am so agitated when I go in to buy a 79-cent bib gulp. And I get behind the person who looks like they've been living on the street and they're buying $175 worth of lotto tickets because today's the day. No, it's not the day. You don't know that. I'm about 12 million to one sure. Listen, I know it's not exciting. I know that when you take your time and you pay off the debt that you have and you begin to invest it little by little over time and you take a 25, 30, 40-year approach to the things that God has given you, I know that you probably don't start Facebooking and tweeting about it, how you made 8%. Woo! But let me tell you something. When the stress is off of your shoulders and the weight is out of your marriage, and you're able to actually pay every bill and then turn around and begin to invest the things that God has given you, and it begins to grow, there is something unbelievably liberating about that. Because you've learned how to live within your means. And it started with stage 1 of getting serious. It doesn't happen overnight. It may take you years to get back to ground level. It's worth it because the lessons you learn will keep you from ever digging the hole again. Number 2, Quit playing. Quit playing. You know that game we talked about earlier where you buy stuff that you don't need with money that you don't have to impress people that you don't like? That game? Quit playing Keeping Up with the Joneses. Because here's the thing. The people that win that game have a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of debt, and not much life to enjoy it. I'm amazed as I watch people as they buy all these toys so that they can spend time with their family. But they never use them because they're always working to pay for the toys that they bought to spend time with their family. Think about it. It doesn't work. It's like somebody standing in a bucket saying, I'm going to lift myself up. No, it doesn't work that way. It can't happen. It's not something that actually creates the life that God has called you to live. So you've got to quit playing the game. You've got to quit caring what other people think about you. You go, you know what, I'm going to McDonald's instead of going out. Or better yet, I'm making my sandwich to make, you know, go to lunch. And everyone makes fun of you. You're like, yeah, laugh when we're 65 and I don't have to work anymore. Because that's reality. Quit playing the game. Do what God's called you to do. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21 says this, you must not covet. By the way, covet's an old-fashioned word. It simply means this, to wish, to long for, to desire, to crave. So do not wish, long for, desire, or crave your neighbor's wife. You must not wish, long for, desire, or crave your neighbor's house. You must not wish, long for, desire, or crave your neighbor's land, or their male or female servants, or their ox, or their donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. You're like, well, they don't have an ox or a donkey, and I'm pretty sure they don't have any male or female servants. Don't long for, wish for, crave their car, or their house, or their 77-inch TV with 4K resolution that you can watch from your living room. Don't long for, desire, or crave those things. Why? Because it changes your focus. Now you are no longer focused on what God has called you to be. Now you're trying to replicate what they are. Number one, where they are is probably not where God wants them to be, which means more than likely it's not where He wants you to be. And if you keep playing the game, you'll end up just like them with a whole bunch of stuff, a whole lot of debt, and not much time to enjoy life. The second verse is this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. If you will take just a moment and think back to the purchase that you regret the most. You know, if you're honest with yourself, the vast majority of us would say that the reason we did it was to impress somebody else. Now, we look back at that, we go, that's so stupid. But it totally makes sense in the moment, doesn't it? You imagine what they're going to say when we drive up in this bad boy? Who cares? Oh, well, listen, let me tell you something. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, I can't believe they did that. How can they afford that? Is that a $750 car payment? That's what they're going to say eventually. Now, they may lust at first, but then they're going to be like, that's dumb. Don't play the game any longer. Get serious. Quit playing. Number three, stop charging. And I don't mean like charging like somebody puts the ball in your gut and you charge forward. I mean like charging like you pull out your wallet and you pull out one of your 18 credit cards or store credit cards or whatever and you go, here, just charge it. Now, I want to just be very, very clear. I do not believe that credit cards are evil. I do not believe that the Bible says that credit cards are evil. However, there is something that takes place with credit cards that if you are not careful and you do not fully understand it, that it can actually devastate you. Credit cards are something the Bible actually calls surety, okay? That essentially someone else is saying that you're good for it. Now, the Bible does say that surety is something that as a Christian you really shouldn't be involved with because there is no guarantee. There is no there's no, the word has just left me. There's no equity. There's no collateral. Thank you. I don't know who said that, but thank you. That's what I'm working for. There's no collateral to guarantee that. And somebody says, listen, you really, as a Christian, you shouldn't be engaged in that, because that can end up causing all sorts of problems for you. Now, I know some of you are like, well, I love using the credit card, and I pay it off every month, and as long as you're paying for it, and as long as you're doing those things, that's not an issue. But here's the problem. The vast majority of people don't do that. The vast majority of people pay the minimum balance every month. And then they say, someday, I'll pay it off. Here's the problem with that. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says this, just as the rich rule over the poor, so the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. I would challenge you, as of last week, know what you've got, to begin to ask the question, do I have what's called unsecured debt that I don't have the ability to really pay back? Have I gotten myself involved in surety, which is really something that has caused me, because the only collateral that is now based upon that is what? You. And so now you have literally put yourself into a position where you are responsible to that debtor. The Bible says that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that the only debt that you should have is the debt of love that you owe to Christ and that you owe to other believers. And that any debt that you have, you should pay off. And that as a Christian, you should only have one master, one owner, one leader, and his name is Jesus. You see, your financial life is inextricably linked to your spiritual life, whether we like it or not. Again, don't be like, man, I've got all these credit cards right now in my pocket, and I feel so guilty. Don't anyone look at me because I've got... Take a deep breath. But the reality is, this is something that you need to understand the real consequences of, because it's really there. And look at this as well, because James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 says this, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go and do this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. James is talking about the fact that we far too often presume upon tomorrow. Jesus Christ himself said, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not engage in those things, but rather today, focus on what today you're supposed to do. You see, often when we have that credit card, that unsecured debt, what we're doing is we're presuming upon tomorrow to pay off today. But here's the thing that many of you have learned this year. You may not have a job tomorrow. You may not have the ability to even pay that off. And so because of that, you are violating a law of Christ and a law of Scripture that says, don't presume on tomorrow. Instead, live the way that God's called you to live today. Not only that, it's financially foolish. You know that if you have a $2,000 credit card debt and you pay the minimum balance, depending upon your credit rate or your rate of interest, it'll take you somewhere between 25 and 32 years to pay off $2,000 of interest, and it'll cost you over $10,000 to do so. That's crazy. Listen, if you want a loan, let's have a conversation, because if you want to do that, I mean, $10,000 for two, that's great. That's why they give you those, because they're there to make money, right? So you got to ask the question, why are we doing that? But I think really, honestly, when we get to this position, it's usually a sign of a much deeper issue. It's usually a sign of a lack of contentment or a lack of self-discipline or a lack of patience or sometimes misplaced longings for safety and security or misplaced longings for significance. Let me tell you, living beyond your means, especially in the realm of credit card and credit card debt, it does not do any of those things for you. In fact, it strips those things from you. And you feel naked and bare and completely vulnerable. That's not the way to go. And That's not where God would have you to be. The final one, the final stage. Not only do you have to get serious and quit playing and stop charging, but the final one is this, is you need to start planning. You need to start planning. You need to get to the point where you are telling your money where to go. You're like, listen, no, you're going to go here. You're like, well, I don't want to impose on my money. Seriously. You need to start planning. You need to be intelligent. You need to be diligent. You need to be serious. You need to be on top of it. Because here's the thing. If you don't pay attention to your finances, and you all know this, right? You don't pay attention to your finances, it tends to disappear. Like a kid in the mall, right? They're gone. Where'd they go? I have no idea. Get out your phone with a tracker on it. We'll find them. It just does. It's just how it happens. So look what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. The wise store up. You cannot store up if you have nothing left to store up. I know, you're like, that is profound. But you cannot save anything if you're spending it all. So if you're wise, you're saving something. You're storing up. But the fools gulp it all down. You go, well, I don't like that. Well, you can write a note, but it's God that says it, not me. The bottom line is, if you want to be the person that God's called you to be, you've got to start planning. You've got to be on purpose. You've got to be intentional about how you spend what God has given you. So I want to share with you two things that I think are powerful resources that you can do on your own. If you are 17 years of age and maybe you've got a side job or you do babysitting or you mow lawns, listen, this is an important thing, and if you will begin to do this now, it will benefit you for the rest of your life. I know some of you are thinking about doing this and some of you aren't thinking about doing it, but I would challenge you, no matter what age you are, if you have not taken Financial Peace University, I highly encourage you to do it. My 19-year-old is going to be taking it for her third time. My 17-year-old is going to be taking it for her first time. Because we want to set them up for success. We don't want them to be 40 years of age with $40,000 worth of debt. We don't want that for them. So I would encourage you, no matter what age you are, you go, well, I'm 54. It's too late for me. No, it's not. It's never too late to begin to do what God has called you to do. So sign up for it and take it. Another great free resource is everydollar.com. It's a budgeting tool. It's not anything that you have to pay for. It's not anything that you've got to, you know, even you can create a pretend email. You know, davesdollars@yahoo.com. And sign up with that. You're like, I don't want anyone to know it's me. That's fine. But use it. Because here's the thing. If you don't start planning, if you're not intentional, then it's going to go anywhere it wants to go. And just like a light, when it's unfocused, may create some light and may give you an ability to see. If you take that same light and you focus it down to a pinprick, it can cut through metal and be incredibly powerful and effective. You see, your financial future, what God has blessed you with so far, can be used either to create opportunities for you to pursue and become the person that God has called you to be. Or if you keep spending like someone else, you'll never experience God's purpose. So this is not about dollars and cents. This is about who God's called you to be. Our passion as a church, and one of the things that we say every single time, is we're going to do everything that we can to help you become the man and the woman that God has called you to be. And we want you to be free. We want you to have a great marriage. We want you to have great kids who understand what it means and how to handle the asset of money that God has placed in our hands. Father, we thank you so much. We are blessed that you would bless us. And God, so many of us have things that have been placed in our hands, things that have been given to us. And God, I pray that we are diligent and we are intentional and we are purposeful in how we use and invest and plan those things. And God, today I pray that in this moment this morning, as I'm sure there are many who are like, man, we need to make some serious changes. We need to get serious about this. We want to make sure that we're set up so that we can be all that God's called us to be. We don't want something like money to stand in the way of us pursuing the passion and the dream that you've placed in our hearts. So God, I pray that they would be able to make that connection between those two things. They would be able to realize that our finances are linked with our walk with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we'll have everything easy and perfect or fixed. It doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. But God, our focus and our hope isn't going to be based on finances. It's going to be based on you. And we can be free to be focused on you because we've managed our finances well. God, give those of us this morning who need your grace right now, grace. Let us not be beating ourselves up, but rather let us open our eyes up to grasp what's going on, to be serious about it. So God, that we can have a great marriage, we can raise wise children, and we can enjoy a future filled with your purpose and your plan because we made money a non-factor. It's all about you and pursuing you. We thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name.